Okay, so we're up to Perek Dalet Mishnah Zayin, the final two Mishnayos of Maseches Tainus. Says the Mishnah as follows: Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Liyos Besocha Asar Melesaper El Mechabes. Any week when Tisha B'Av falls, one is forbidden to cut their hair or to do laundry. Essentially, the idea is that these restrictions come into play from the beginning of the week until the fast is over. We nowadays have something called the 9 days and the 3 weeks, which is a little bit beyond what this is talking about. Nonetheless, Svardim do have the concept of Shua Shechalva. Again, Ashkenazim don't have it as much nowadays because of the extension of how we've added to it. But Chamishi Mutarim Mibnei Kavod HaShabbos, and a fascinating halacha, says the Mishnah, which doesn't have any bearing on us, halacha lemaisa, because of the fact that back in the day when the calendar was not fixed, Tishbev could fall on a Friday, so therefore you would have the following halacha. Nowadays, because of the fixed calendar, Tisha B'Av will never fall on a Friday. Nonetheless, if it does fall on a Friday again, V'chamishi mutar mibnei kavod haShabbos. When Tisha B'Av falls on this Friday, one is allowed to do laundry, and one is allowed to wash their clothes on Thursday, the day before the fast. Why the kavod Shabbos and on our Shabbos? Since Tisha B'Av is going to be on Friday, you're not going to have any chance to do laundry before Shabbos, so you could do it. Do laundry on Thursday, again, the day before Tisha B'Av, for Shabbos. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin lo yochal basar lo yishtayayin. On the afternoon before Tisha B'Av, the last meal before the fast, the Sudas of Sekas, a person cannot eat two cooked dishes. Like, so, for example, you shouldn't have like a fish dish and an egg dish. Two cooked dishes, it would not be allowed. Or even one cooked dish of meat is not allowed, nor is it permissible to drink wine. This is again all for the Sudas of Sekas. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Yeshana. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, no, well, let's calm down for a second. We don't have to have such restrictions, right? Only the idea is that a person needs to make a change from what they usually eat. So, for example, if he usually has three cooked dishes, then he should only have two. If he usually drinks three cups of wine, then he should only drink two, etc. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Bechliya Samita. And then another halacha, as it applies on the night of Tisha B'Av itself. So, on the night of Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Yehuda required that we would flip over our beds to make them upside down, and the idea is they would then sleep on the floor. Below who do lo chacham, and the chacham didn't agree with this idea. They said, in their opinion, we can leave our beds the way they are, and we can sleep on them. Nonetheless, we do have the custom to. Some people have the custom to like put a rock under their pillow or take away their pillows to sort of detract from their sleep just a little bit. Okay, Mishnah Ches, the final Mishnah of the Masechta. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, after discussing having a Masechta of primarily a lot of depressing concepts of fasts over lack of rain or fasts over calamities, so we finished the Masechta on a high note. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel said, "Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael b'kachamisha asar be'av uchiyom ha-kipurim." The two happiest days of the year, the Jewish people didn't have festivals comparable to the 15th of Av, Tu B'Av, and Yom Kippur. What happened on these days? Shabahen benos Yerushalayim yotzos bechle lavan sheulin shelo levayish es misha einlo. When the young girls of Yerushalayim, they would go out dressed in white clothes that they all borrowed from, and the reason why they borrowed them was so as not to embarrass one who did not have fine clothing. So in other words, let's say you have half the women are poor and half the women are rich. The rich people don't need to borrow, but unless we say everyone has to borrow, so that the people who can't afford the nice white clothing don't feel bad. So everyone's borrowing this nice white garments that they were wearing. Kol hakilim teunin tevila. All of the borrowed clothing that they would wear would require immersion in a mikvah before they were worn. Uvenos Yerushalayim yotzos v'cholos bakramim. And so these maidens, these young girls, these young ladies of Yerushalayim would go out and dance in these vineyards, and unmarried men would go out there to choose a wife. Umehayu omros. So what would these young ladies say to the men? Well, it depends. The very good-looking ones would say, "Bachor, sana'inechur e ma'ata borerlach." Young man, you know, you should raise your eyes and look at what you're choosing for yourself. Like, you know, you got a pretty good-looking woman over here. That's one perspective. That's one woman. But let's say a woman who wasn't so particularly good-looking, but they came from an important family. So what would happen? Al titein einecha banoi. This woman would say to this guy over here, don't pay attention to beauty, right? Let's say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, if you will. Pay attention to the family. Look at my family. I come from such an important family. Just focus on that. And let's say you had a woman who was not particularly good looking, nor did she have such an important family that she came from. So if she would quote the psukim of Eish Eschayil from the end of Mishlei, she would say, Sheker hachein vehevel hayofi isha yiras hashem hi sezalo. She would say, grace is false and beauty is vain. A woman who fears God, she should be praised. The Omer, Tenu lami priya dehav yihaluha basharim maseha. And they would quote the following verse, which says, give her the fruits of her hands and let her be praised in the gates of the city for her deeds. Meaning, essentially, the idea is, she's saying, don't pay attention to the grace, right? Which means the, you know, a woman who comes from an important family, that would be like a grace. Nor should you pay attention to the external beauty. Rather, make your choice based on how much she fears God and how praiseworthy her deeds are. These are the things that should be your determining factors of choosing a wife. And then finally, concludes the Masechta, V'chein hu Omer, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, he interprets the following pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Ze'ena ure'ena benos Sion b'melech Shlomo ba'atara she'itra lo imo b'yom chasunaso v'yom simchas libo. This pasuk, essentially, that describes the absolute joy of Yom Kippur. What does the pasuk mean? It means, go out and look, daughters of Zion, at the king Shlomo. Who's King Shlomo? So it's not Shlomo HaMelech over here. It means the king who has Shalom, who oversees Shalom, something like that, and that is obviously God. So go out and look, daughters of Zion, at God, wearing the crown with which his mother, meaning the Jewish people, crowned him on his wedding day and on the day of his heart's joy. So, what is this talking about over here? So, Biyom Chasunaso, Zo Matan Torah, on the day of his wedding, refers to the day of the giving of the Torah, which is not Simchas Torah, nor is it Shavuos, so when we say the Yom Matan Torah Teinu. Right, rather, this is Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur we receive the second set of the Luchos. Uviyom Simchas Libo, Zeb Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the day of his heart's joy refers to the day of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which was also on Yom Kippur when the Jewish people dedicated this first temple. Concludes the Mishnah. May the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, be built speedily in our days. Amen. That brings us to the end of Maseches Tainus. God willing, next time we'll continue with Maseches Megillah. But for now, we will stop right here.